Tonight, as they get ready, I mean, practitioners all over the world, the undergrounders, whether it's Satanists or the darker witches or the Strega, they're all going to get ready tonight, the maguses and wizards that pee. They're at the spring equinox, and that means sex rituals and blood. For them, it's all about the demons, though, and there's the decadence that comes to dirty the conscience, to dirty the construct, so the demons can fit. In this day that we live in, now there are hundreds of millions of practitioners, and they know how to interact with the spirits. Truth is, as I've been saying, based on biblical prophecy, too, there'll be more of that than ever in history. It's not going away. It's going to increase. Next door, in the apartment complex. So I'm talking to some individuals. They're telling me about the demons in their apartment, everything going on. They actually felt chased down by the spirits. What they didn't know at first was that the Black Sun Camp, the Crowley, a group of individuals in the apartment below were doing rituals and summoning spirits, and it seemed clear as we sought to engage this group later that they were summoning and sending and seeking to harass the believers in Christ in the apartment above. That's isn't that what the demons want? Isn't that what the spirits want? How could you have demons and, you know, dark spirits and Satan operating and not have a sense of opposition against another human being that has the living Christ in them? I know one thing, those who have acquired spirits out of rituals and, well, familiar spirits, you know the difference. You can even see the real believer and the Spirit of God. Well, even the demon knows. Paul, I know, and Jesus, he knew. He didn't know those who were trying to, well, the posers, those who just wanted to use the name of Jesus as if it was a charm, they weren't born again. They didn't have the authority. Do you remember that in the book of Acts? By the way, we have the workbook, Book of Acts, Field Manual for the End of Days. Finally, it is out. Tomorrow I'll have up an introduction to that. We're going to wait till next week. People are ordering it left and right. And we will put up a couple more introductory levels, and then the weekly schedule will go up. And we'll try to do as much as we can to give you all that we can when it comes to that 8 month. I mean, it'll carry over for the year. We're going to have break-in. We're going to have days in which we're going to be gone, conferences, other things. And so it's going to be at least a year. Now, it's going to be involving you getting out there and forming a team and being a part and stepping out in faith where you are anywhere in the world. Here's what I'm confident about, very confident about. See, Paul says this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to perfection to the very day of Christ. So here's what I know. All over the world where you're listening and engaging, and if you're going to take the training course and you're going to begin to just yield to the Lord and surrender and say, here am I, send me. Well, and then you begin to learn and acquire and stand and step out in power, the Spirit of God's power, and begin to have the, the actual fruit. You begin to lead individuals to the Lord. You begin to see some healings happen. You begin to see the Spirit of God guiding and leading. And when it comes to demons, well, Holy Spirit discernment, maybe the charismatic gift of discerning spirits, maybe a word of knowledge about what the enemy's trying to do, and you're able to see a triumph of Christ and the kingdom of God again and again over the powers and activity of the dark side. Russ Dizdar, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. So glad to be with you tonight. And prayers are up tonight. We just acknowledge the living Savior, the blood of the Lamb. We acknowledge this Savior, God in human flesh. Well, he holds all authority, has given all believers authority, Luke 10, 19, to do one thing, to bring destruction, to tread on the dark side. Now, that's a fundamental, that is a bottom ground level, as they say, ground zero, that's been given to us. So at the moment of salvation, there's so much given to us. Well, that's part of the reason for the rest of the New Testament is to appropriate, to acknowledge, to know, to grow up in that salvation. Well, again, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We're going to be in Dallas in about a week. We're going to be in Hickory, North Carolina in a couple of weeks, back here in Canton, Ohio with Coach Dave Dobmeier. We're going to be with Coach Dave Dobmeier Thursday morning very, very early. Equinox, spring equinox. So as the deeper, darker, those it really engage with the spirits. Well, they're going to be doing stuff tonight in preparation. They're going to do stuff tomorrow, obviously, and through the night and into the morning Thursday. So we have millions and millions of practitioners. And those engaging the saint of death all through Mexico, what, 15 million? Worldwide, hundreds of millions now have acquired, now know, and have interaction with. Many of them are obviously able to conjure. The whole underground knows how to conjure. 100 million richly abused on a global scale. All of them selected in, birthed in, traumatized in the context of rituals and demons and blood. They know the feeling, they know the sound, they know the smells, they know it all, and so many of them have been released, set free out of the dominion of darkness and into the basileia, the kingdom and rule of Jesus of Nazareth. So we pray today that the Lord Jesus bring destruction to, based on 1 John 3:8, and based on first chapter of Colossians, well, that's where we've been plucked up out and moved over into the kingdom. Chapter 2 in Colossians, by that cross, he triumphed over the dark powers. So, in the name of Jesus, may God stretch out his hand to destroy everything demonic, every working of every demonic empowerment, clearly and thoroughly in Jesus' name right now. Father, miraculously set individuals free. Heal bodies where demons afflicted them. Stretch out your hands and God, by the Spirit of God, move believers to stand in faith and renounce all of the world, the flesh, and the devil and all that work, and to yield and open wide to you. May you fill them with the power of the Spirit of God. May you, as we go through this broadcast, release. And the Spirit of God chooses, Father, we know, release spiritual gifts and empowerments. Let every believer know that they are to be the most empowered and supernatural people on the planet. If anybody can shape history, if anybody can advance with an intervention into the world, real believers, that's what an answer to prayer is, an intervention, a miracle, a work of God. The believers in Acts 4, they just raised their voices up, they prayed, they quoted scripture, and immediately power of the Spirit of God. Such power that the building shook. Now, when believers begin to realize all of the underground rituals and things that are going on, and they're able to target that and pray there, and I wonder whether the ground could shake. I wonder, like the one Satanist that got out of the car and came aggressively at me, kind of yelling, "What have you been doing? That spiritual warfare stuff?" And I didn't answer. I just said, "Why?" They said, "Because we could hardly even get one demon, one spirit to show up in the last 3 weeks." Well, for 3 weeks, I had taken all the information down. I had just begun to learn how to target, use that Greek word desis, specific prayers, targeting that, the ritual site, coven area, ritual dates, and praying and praying and praying. I've seen that happen again and again. That's one of the reasons they don't want you to know where they're at, what they're doing. Because if real believers target that, if real believers pray in God's power with authority in Jesus, that authority, to tread the dark powers, then there. Listen, you got to realize how that's going to tear them up. You got to realize that. Now, those would that have the dark spirits that are going to wreak on the show, they're going to get mad at this. They're going to do things. They're the demon. The Lord rebuke that. Every demon be silenced and bound in Jesus' name during this teaching and during this broadcast. And may God show extraordinary deliverances. Who's ever listening, still caught up with the demons and still playing games there, may God show you the dangerous and eternal destruction that you're embracing. Come out of it by the hand of God. Come out of it right now. Turn to the living Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus. Jesus, more powerful than all demons put together, Satan himself, they shudder. You ever read that in the book of James? They tremble at the name Jesus. They know who he is. So if you know the nature of demons and Satan, obviously the Satanists and others and cultists and Crowlinians and wizards and maguses and all those who peep, they know the need for secrecy and hiddenness and to stay away from public or from, the demons don't want to be found out. I mean, people bring people demonized to the offices years ago and many, many times, or were brought to certain places where the demon inside all of a sudden realizes what's going to begin to happen, and they try to get the person to run. They try to get the person out of there, or faint, or throw up, or something. Got to rebuke all that, stop all that. We're there to expel darkness. Now, I already did this in the beginning, and I just want to share with you shatterthedarkness.net, that website. Scroll down a little bit. You're going to see the Book of Acts Field Manual, and to the right of that is the Spiritual Warfare. Now, there's a manual being written for this also, so I'll have it out before this is over, but we started this one out of necessity. And this is how we've done some in the past, but we started this out of necessity. We'll put the workbook out for those who love doing notes and working that way, and you can order that. And there'll be a site just on Spiritual Warfare Volume 3, and you can go have all the archives. The only cost for anybody, and we try to even get it, make sure that the publisher give you the best. I think there's like a 25% discount, and I don't want to do any kind of commercials here, but I'm letting you know that we try to do that and to give to everybody. That's only, you're talking a few bucks for what I believe is equivalent to a couple of courses at a Bible school. And I think that everybody realizes those audios are all free worldwide. So we're going to approach before summer 80 million downloads around the world of all the stuff. And we're glad for that. If you are, praise God and keep growing and keep us in prayer and keep us in prayer today and tomorrow, this week. And I'm going to ask all the friends, all of you, I need your prayers next week in Dallas on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And the next week after that, in Hickory, North Carolina, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the next week after that, Canton, Ohio, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll mention it again. I thank you for that, and I really praise God for the individuals that pray and listen to the Spirit of God. Sometimes some of you send me notes about what God is showing you or what you're praying. That's great, too. But I just want you to know we value the prayers by which God comes with his work and his. So just keep us in prayer. Pray for the prayer warriors. There's no question you're going to do that. We already looked at this. The current on the notes, if you've got the notes for session 11, this is session 11B, and there'll probably be a C. There's going to be 3 one-hour things here. If you're looking at the notes at some point, we went through session A, touching on 4 things. The current non-human empowerments in dark supernaturalism. That's important for us all to have a heads up about. That's what Colossians 4:2 is all about, or 1 John 5:8 is all about. that Gregoruo, that being, aware and alert. We're supposed to be aware of the enemy's schemes so that he doesn't outwit us so that we don't sit back and defeat. To be extremely biblically aware and experientially then aware in your walk, that's a vital point of victory, and it's good. And then to practice, watch, discern in your prayer time, in the midst of worship, in the empowerment of the Spirit of God, Lord, is the enemy doing anything? What's going on? And then praying for the area. And then when you know about rituals and sites, and you know, if you know about richly abused individuals and ritual sites and things like that, well, the body of Christ needs to be on the aggressive, and that's just part of it. As I pray for the advance of the church, and I'm praying for millions of lost souls worldwide to come to Christ, I believe that's going to be happening all over. And you know, really, even among Muslims and around the world and everywhere, you know that there's thousands and thousands coming to Christ. So as we listen tonight, I gave this heads up. Dark supernaturalism is going to be grabbing a hold of the lost to just absolutely burn them into the darkness. That's the goal. I'll mention again Revelation 12 here in a few moments. The current non-human empowerments in the subnormal church. In a lot of ways, I mean, there's two problems right now. Massively, the subnormal, powerless church that has abdicated the fullness of Christ in power and what it's supposed to be. Well, there's a great massive neglect on spiritual gifts. And when you have leadership that don't even hardly know theirs, and they don't know what to do, and so you have millions and millions of believers that don't know their authority, not sure about the armor of God, and they definitely don't know for sure about charismatic giftings in their lives. So that's got to change. Good news, he's operative, and he's anyone who wants the fullness of Christ, fullness of the Spirit, to know your... Anybody wants it all, as a believer, as you should, it's yours. Every promise of God is yours. Every word is yes, clearly, in Christ. So just you just come, and you just receive, and you just seek the Lord, and you just... That's the good thing. You will receive. Now, point three was the coming onslaught of demonic powers, and I'll mention again the growth and the development. Point four on those pages, the astounding possibilities and necessities and the supernaturalism, that is from the hand of God, that the church should be displaying, along with love, feeding the hungry, house, all of the works of Jesus. That's all of it's there. But so you have on the one hand the massive neglect. Then you have in some places, we all know this, there is a misuse and a hyper overemphasis and a real mocking up at times. I'll say it real quickly here. We're going to define this tonight. When it comes to charismatic giftings from God, where the Spirit of God gives particular abilities, and we call them giftings, but literally they are in empowerments and or, if you want to say it, abilities. They are charismatic abilities. Charismatic, they're gifts in the sense that they're given. You don't earn them. You can't go buy them. You can't go do certain works like salvation alone. Salvation, gift of God. Fullness of the Spirit of God, gift of God. Even miracles. You can read this in Galatians. How do we receive the Spirit? How do we receive miracles? By faith alone in Christ. Not about works, and that's true about giftings also. So as we dive in, the good news is God wills every believer is to have giftings. And over the years when I taught on this in local church and we had training seminars in the church about this, because I wanted the people to be equipped, I wanted them to know. Because even in a small one of the churches I passed was a small church, 150, 170, and there were many people who had many giftings, and the three things. The one thing you want was as many as possible operative in the best, in the good way that honors Jesus, and they're functioning in that powerful way that they should be. So then you have this major manifest you just have so much of the work of God operative. And then you have the issue of sometimes the fleshly issues where people are misusing that. Listen, that's just, you need to correct that so that people don't keep doing it. Just correct the misuse. And that's what 1 Corinthians 14 does when it comes to the gift of tongues and how to do things in a service. That's part of correction, not elimination, not forbidding. I think, again, inexperienced when it comes to the subnormal, many times the inexperienced church, not being fully obedient to the word, they just forbid, they just cut it all out so they don't have to deal with it. And I think, again, that's dereliction of duty. I think, again, that's holding back the grace of God. So the third problem we have to deal with, though, well, the first one's a good thing, good gifts being used in the power and grace of God rightly. The misuse, some call fleshly, or this, the misusing sometimes, or using it for your own gain, using it for your own picture of authority or making money, all that has, that's all flesh and needs to be stopped. They're gifts to be used freely. Now, let me also say this. Every single gift, I believe, can be counterfeited by demons, by Satan and demons. And so I would say this, that we have to have that clear discernment. And by the way, who has God the Holy Spirit dwelling in him? Believers in Christ. 1 John 4, greater, megas, huge, massive, is the Spirit of God dwelling in you than Satan and or demons that are in the world. So who should have spiritual discernment? Who should be able to detect? And if you give time and you practice Colossians 4:2, watching, taking the time with the Spirit of God energizing and lighting up your perceptions, your discernment, all of that, you're looking around and praying, Lord, is there anything the enemy's doing? Give me a heads up. You're looking to discern. You're looking for any impending danger of the counterfeit and that kind of thing, so that you can do something about it. That you can pray against it, stand against it, resist the devil, he'll flee, rebuke that, expel that, clear the house, clear the air, and shut down the counterfeit. And where you see it being done in places, see, the counterfeit can be done in the New Age movement, Sai Baba in India, among Satanists and others. Many of the SRA, when they're operative, when they have demonic empowerments and programmed personalities, they're able to, on the one hand, kind of present a fake Christianity, and yet in their sub-dark, demonized personalities, they can come in and do the counterfeit, like in Lakeland and many other places. So if you discern, here's what I always say. If you get a check, check it out. If you get a sense that something's not right here in the Spirit of God, check it out. Pray. Ask. Seek the Lord. Get a couple of other believers. Because what's very important is to know the Spirit of God is here to be powerful, explosive, and in the advance of the kingdom with all the giftings, powers, signs, wonders, miracles, all of that. And that's awesome, and that's how we see extraordinary development of salvations and powerful church and growing and great joy and so forth. That's what you want. That's the norm, not the subnorm. No wonder in the subnorm it's very boring and people don't even show up hardly. They don't even go. They don't remember what the service was about, an hour later when they left because of how dumbed down at times. It needs to be said. It's not a cliche. It's not really an attack. It's burden. It's what I think we need to hear. Anybody preaching on the seven churches of Revelation, you're going to deal with Sardis and Laodicea. You're going to see the characteristics. And when you see those characteristics in actual local churches, you're seeing subnormal, broken down, powerless Christianity. It needs to change. Good news is, whether an individual life or a local church, it can change. It can change if we're willing to bring it all under and surrender all of it under, and in obedience to all under the lordship of Jesus. Remember what he said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I've said. So it really comes down again to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, that living, powerful Word. You can't get saved without that. And you get saved by doing it God's way. And that's how it all works. You can't get saved by works. You get saved by faith alone as a salvation, a gift of God. It's a matter of just bowing down, repenting, and turning and saying, Lord, I receive by faith alone the living Christ, the power of God, forgiveness, eternal life. I accept that. That's it. That's to me, I think you and I both know, you know, from all the fake systems of works and all that out there. And man, when you do that and the Spirit of God comes in and you're born of the Spirit of God, then man, there's the power of God to begin to do the works of Jesus, to live it out. It all begins to come out of you. That's why I keep quoting that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do those good works like he did, as God prepared them, even in advance. They're all there to do. Let me say this, for a lot of believers, there's a lot of incredible, astounding, miraculous works of Jesus, the ones he does, waiting to be done through you. You've been designed for it. It's about understanding that, believing that, stepping out of the Word of God on the basis of that. So the possibilities are incredible. Now, in the middle of the notes, I have these words. Both sides are. They're both operative right now, and they're going to do more and more and more in the future. So I'm going to say overall, there's going to be a great ramping up supernaturally. You cannot read the book of Revelation about the two witnesses, about what God is going to do, even the wrath of God targeting the Antichrist in his system. Even that, I mean, that's an act of God demonstrative. Look at a city shaking and all these... where the witnesses of God, Christ, were killed. And so you're going to see and I'm going to tell you this, those in the underground, even those in the ufologists, those who are trying to get the alien entities to manifest you're going to hear about more and more materialization. Over the last decade, you begin to hear more and more about sleep paralysis, dark demons coming into a room. Whether that was because somebody opened a door to something or because they had somebody astral project or summon and send a demon into the room. A lot of reasons. So if you're a believer and you've been having sleep paralysis and demon come into your room and you've cleaned your own, I mean, you've looked at your own life, family bloodline and familiar spirits, and you've rebuked everything you know of, here's what a lot of individuals that have been harassed by a demon coming into the room, paralyzing, trying to hold you down, that kind of stuff. Somebody else is doing it. So here's what I would say. Number one, rebuke the demon, command the demon, resist the demon in the name of Jesus to get out and tell it, never come back. Secondly, ask the Lord to find the persons doing it to deal with them. If somebody's astral projecting, you know, where you feel like there's a human and something supernatural to the point that it seems like a human, rebuke the demon that empowers them. Or if you know somebody is doing a ritual, a spell, a hex, where they're, you know, conjuring a demon to sin and on assignment, well, attack the assignment. The Spirit of God can give you insight. Attack that assignment in Jesus' name. Command it to be all broken and ask the Lord to come against any and all demons on them. Ask the Lord to deal with them. Whatever it takes, they need to be stopped. And especially the deep undergrounders where blood sacrifice is being done, just like Moloch and Baal in the Old Testament. It's really been extraordinarily hidden. That's part of the tactical work of the dark side, as they have tactically built a multi-continental mysterium. The New World Order is sitting under our feet worldwide. The political, economic, militaristic, and even the technological. So we already know that that's being developed, Antichrist born, and all that, heading towards the big onslaught. Now, the big onslaught means, yes, the worst of the worst of the worst of the dark side. God engages. And I'm going to tell you what. I mean, God engages the culmination of the powers. They have never and never will again come with that level. And it's coming. Now, prior to that breaking out into the world, chaos, new order, Antichrist, all that, the massive bulging at the seams, so the unleashing, and we'll touch on that again tonight. Let me mention both sides. The supernatural powers and works of God, the supernatural powers and works of Satan. Point three on continuing in this is the reality of a spiritual, supernatural enhancements. We're going to talk about that, the giftings and works. And I'm going to define the charismatic gifts, but I'm going to call them charismatic abilities. Holy Spirit given, and he determines this, given empowerments, I like to call them abilities. Some would call them enhancements. Well, the New Age and remote viewers and all of them, all the spiritual presences and abilities and, you know, all the fallen ones, masquerading specifically, help them. And that has to be dealt with. And if you're listening and you know you've got spiritual things occurring, but you know it's not God, it's not Christ, it's not the Spirit of God, you got to get out of that quickly before they take you so deep you can't get out of it. Jesus can get you out. They know who he is. And for everyone that does have dark spirits masquerading as they do tactically to draw you in, well, anybody mentioning the real Jesus and engaging you, well, you know they're going to suppress, want you out of there. Then you know who they really are. They don't want to be exposed. May God in Jesus' name expose as you listen anyone worldwide and to turn to Jesus. And we're asking him to bring a total deliverance to you and set you free in extraordinary ways right now. Jesus can do that. Now, point one under that, both sides are going to give more and more supernatural works in the future. Four things under that first point, supernatural powers and works of God. Think in terms of before Christ, Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, among Moses was, I mean, that's where all these miraculous things were occurring. You know, we see it also with Elijah. We see it in Ezekiel. We see it with Daniel. So the massive interaction of sign, wonder, miracle, healings, all through the Old Testament, the power of God, incredible things that God would do. I mean, think in terms of God delivering, Israel from the bondage, you know, the Exodus. And they're escaping and going, and God opens a way through the sea, and they're going through, and then here comes, don't forget, highly occult-oriented, if not Nephilim-oriented. Ognaten seems to be a Nephilim. And they seem to be so deep in the dark side in their development. So they're attacking. They're coming to get them. And obviously, God shuts the door on that. So you think about the pillar and the cloud and the leading and the Urim and Thurim. So when you think of the Old Testament, you see how God breaks in. You see what God does. A burning bush. Jonah and the whale. Joshua and the sun stops in the middle of a cult, demonically enhanced war battle with Israel. God holds the day. So there are some things in the Old Testament that are astounding. So when you read the Psalms many times where the psalm writer talks about meditating on the Word of God, meditating on the character of God, but also meditating on the works of God, because they inspire you. To see the answers to prayer, to see the intervention of God, even to see the work of angels, because they're sent by God, they don't operate independently. Oh, that's important for us. So the before, even Isaiah 6, who did he see? Yahweh Sabaoth. Who did the pre-incarnate Christ about 700 years prior was seen? Isaiah 6. You can read that backdrop and this massive, again, when I say supernaturalism, I mean by God's interaction and involvement. Even the birth of Israel by divine design. as is the church. I will build my church. So it's vital for us to know of the work of God, the where God initiates, where God is intervening, where God is breaking in, where God is delivering, and where God is moving. Hezekiah and the praise team that goes out, and the demonized, the hyper-demonized tribes and blood sacrifices they would have done, they all turn on each other. So, and you can read concerning the battles of the Lord, the host of the Lord, the army. You know, when I think in terms of the angelic engagement in the Old Testament, it's incredible. The way God, you know, engaged, the Christophanies, Theophanies. So the Old Testament's exciting to see of all the things God has done, and it inspires you to think. And we read in the New Testament, they're all written down for us as examples. They inspire me concerning what God does today. Nothing's impossible. That's why I want you to know that. If believers have lived among the subnormal, nothing happening, no powers, nothing demonstrative. Now, it's not about just doing it. It's not about just playing games, obviously. But in the midst of spiritual battle in the Old Testament, there was demonstrative power encounters and great movements of God, even earthquakes and everything. So you're going to see that in the book of Acts, by the way. Does God bring an earthquake as Paul and Silas are praying and praising to get them out of there? You better believe it. Now, let me mention this. At the coming of Christ, think of all the prophecies. That is massive supernaturalism, especially because the accurate, infallible, and detailed, and clear, and literal fulfillment. All you do is read the book of Matthew and see it is fulfilled. It is fulfilled. And the fulfillment of prophecies 700 years old, let alone the resurrection, 1,000 years old, given way in advance. The resurrection of Christ, Psalm 16, 1,000 years in advance. So you have angels showing up. You got Mary, an angel coming. You got a dream with Joseph. You got the Spirit of God causing the conception. You have all this activity at the birth. Where'd the wise men come from? Where'd that star come from? The host of angels singing. You ever read Luke 1, 2, and 3? I mean, this is global. All heaven is engaged in the incarnation. In the incarnation. And here now is Yahweh Adonai in human flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the only begotten God. So the coming of Christ. Now look at Jesus Himself, what He's doing. Water into wine. Look at Him walk on the water. Look at Him heal every disease. Everything's under Him. Everything, all creation bows to Him, yields to Him. Because the Creator is now the Redeemer in human flesh. That's all defined, John's Gospel chapter 1, by the way. And so you have the incredible things He's doing. Opens the eyes of the blind, raises the dead. Lazarus alone. Like, can you imagine the miracle there? Dead all those days, liquefying. Even the one lady, he stinketh. Yeah, that's normal in human decomposition, just that's a normal issue there. I don't even want to talk about the smell of that. And yet, roll away the stone. When Jesus commanded Lazarus come forth, it wasn't just a resurrection. See, he'd been dead. He had left his body, went to heaven. The body had to be healed totally. And at the same moment, Lazarus returned to that body in order for him to stand up and be alive in this present, you know, in this world. Now, that blew away everybody and obviously angered the religious individuals of the day that created the cult where Jesus said, your father's the devil. You got to understand that that was a cult. He was engaging that day and how opposed they were to him. Jesus told them early on, you can read back in John's Gospel 4:5-6, if they would have obeyed his word in all the preparatory works, the word of God, and everything in the old was to lead to this, was to open them up. Look at Luke's Gospel and Simeon, how the Spirit of God guided him, moved him, made him aware. When he saw the baby Jesus, oh, the Spirit of God was all over him. He did it the right way. And when the Spirit of God is all over you like that, you can recognize the work of God easier. So the more you are yielded and filled and clothed and experienced in the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and you're walking in fellowship, it's far easier to discern, to know, and distinguish. It's important for us. And by the way, to receive and use spiritual gifts. This is an important point. All spiritual gifts are good and given by God by the work of the Spirit of God. But sometimes in believers, inexperienced or weak and or carnal, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:3, the carnality issue, when they're not under the full lordship of Jesus, when they're acting like mere lost. I mean, you read that there, they need to get their lives right. Spiritual gifts do not set you free from sins and other things and so forth. That's not what they're for. Jesus does that. Jesus sets you free. Jesus comes to give you the fullness and fill you with the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus comes to unveil himself and the word in your life. You grow in him. You are saved, set free, growing, empowered, new nature by Jesus. And the giftings are additional, as they are abilities he gives you in the context of living out that life under the lordship of Jesus and ministering, well, doing the mission, the great mission, the evangelization of the world. The second part of that, and there's really only two primary, the evangelization of the world and the building up of the body of Christ and keeping it strong. And all charismatic giftings, abilities can do that. Now, in Jesus, we see the incredible, miraculous things that are being done. We see in John's Gospel, chapter 14, that he's going to tell all of us, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing and even greater things than these. When you read John 15, that we've been chosen in Christ, of course, Ephesians 1, we're chosen in that relationship with the Lord to bear the fruit. And that involves the, you know, winning souls, answers to prayer clearly in that chapter, and would include all of what God gives us to do the works of Jesus. And that's very clear there. It glorifies God. It, you know, bearing fruit is an evidence that you're in obedience to Jesus. Read verses 7 and 8 of 1 John's Gospel 15, and see that. Know that relationship to Jesus and obedience to the Word is the center of all of it. From that comes our openness to the full filling, empowerment, clothing of the Spirit of God in power, to where you live in the power of the Spirit, full of the Spirit like Barnabas. And then as you are out there being that witness and doing that mission, and again, it's only by doing the Word that it becomes so ingrained in you and you become so experienced, competent, and confident in it. So in soul winning, healing, deliverance, using your spiritual charismatic abilities, all of that, the more you use them rightly, so, and that's how God intends us to do it, and in that intent, I want to say that's why I'm excited for all of us, that under his lordship and loving him and doing it his way, such beauty, such empowerments, such abilities, such incredible, manifold, many-sided works of God, charismatic discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, mercies. We're going to go over all of them here in a few moments. So I want you to know to see how Jesus poured out his very life is a manifestation, God in human flesh. His very words, as he said, John 6, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life, Zoe. They have power in them. The word of God today is, there's no difference in the power. I want you to know that. Whether if we could go back 2,000 years and listen to him speak or have the word in front of you, the power, the efficacy, the it's the same. When you open your Bible, the words are spirit and life, and they have dunamis, power, operated through them. Believe them, obey them, and as you do, they become operative in your life. And don't forget Mark 16:20. I like saying that because. I want every single believer to know that is ultimately, as you step out in obedience in every way, and maybe you're a brand newer believer, you've never done any of this before. You've never led a soul to Jesus. You've never prayed for anybody. You've never even known what a spiritual gift is yet. That's true of a lot of believers. They don't. They've not been taught. They've not seen. So it's important. It's good if we have experienced leadership. I'm going to say to every leader, you need to... One of the issues of being a leader, get as much as you can. I mean, seek the Lord, go to the Lord, every gifting, every working, everything. You get everything, as you should. And that will enable you to far better unleash everything. You've read that in the Gospel of John, first chapter. A man only has what he's received from God. So I'm going to say to all the leaders, you can't give any more than you got. I mean, salvation, fullness of spirit, giftings and abilities, prayer answers, power in God, leading, being out there, and being experienced in all, deliverance. The majority of pastors and leaders and elders and deacons can't do it at all. Many of them are afraid because of their own lack. All the biblical spiritual warfare teaching will empower you and helps drive out fear, which has no place for the believer. The love of God, 1 John, we read, drives out that fear. You can't let that stay there. Faith and fear can't operate side by side. One's going to have precedence. Fear quenches the spirit. Faith in him, in his word, opens the door for the floodgates of God. And we can read again in Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis, right? And of love and a sound mind. That's important for us to know as a reminder to the young leader Timothy and for all of us to stand up and say, you know what? I renounce all fears and any sense of inadequacy, anything I don't know right now. I just come before the Lord. You're going to show me, Lord. You're going to increase. You're going to help me grow. I look at Acts 9:22. Saul of Tarsus is saved. He's filled with the Spirit. He begins to testify and witness to be a soul winner. And in verse 22, he grew more and more powerful. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, even the first time you experience that full flood and power of the Spirit of God, that's the beginning. You grow from there, you grow more and more powerful. Acts 9:22. And that's important for all of us. I want to go back to Mark 16:20. And at the end of that gospel, in reference to the disciples, here's what it says. Then they, those disciples, went forth. I mean, the word means everywhere. They went everywhere. They just went forth everywhere. And evangelized everywhere. They're preaching and unleashing the gospel everywhere. Then look what it says. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So any believer that is, you're out on the, you know, you're out, when I say on the field, that we are every day, even in your office, even in your home, I mean, your prayer life, your walk, and then the designated, every Thursday night we're going to go out in teams, or every Saturday night we're going to go out in teams, or, you know, we should all have designated. They did. As when you go through the book of Acts with me, they had times when things just occurred. They are ready. But they also had designated. They are out seeking. They are out laboring. They are out looking to win souls and to engage. And when they met those who were sick, they prayed for the healing. When they met the demonized, they kicked them out. They prayed, and God brought sign and wonder. And according to Mark 16:20, the living Christ, that's how confident I want you to be. The Savior is right there. He said that in Matthew. If you're going to go out in the Great Commission to the whole of the world, and you make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything whatsoever to obey, Jesus said, and I am with you always to the end of the age. I've had 40 years of that, over that. He's never, we can decide next Friday to go out. There's times the Spirit of God will guide, but I'm saying don't wait. Just plot it, plan it. You're a soul winner. You're a prayer warrior. You are to use your gifts. You are to engage demons if necessary. You're to do it all. You're to be walking and live. Matter of fact, can I throw something out to you? There are a lot of individuals that pray for revival. When I was in Scotland, the pastor of that gate church there in Dundee, I appreciated him deeply, appreciated the church that day, appreciated the people around me that day. Powerful. I was really glad. In a very dark, dark city, that church was a really good light. Really biblical, Book of Acts style. And afterwards, we met with the pastor, sat down and talked. I talked about revival and you know, the old Wesleys and revival. There's a lot of history of old revivals. Well, Scotland, England's really dark. There's a need for revival and prayer for it, but he also said this. He said, I'm not waiting for revival. I believe we're to live it out. And here's what I'm going to say. I agree. Even when you take a look at Acts chapter 8, Philip, what did he walked into a demonized, lost city, subjugated under deceptive dark powers. And he carried, you know what I believe? We carry that revival sense. If you're walking in the fullness of the Spirit in giftings and workings and leading people to Jesus, there is a real sense of, in all the book of Acts, you could see, and I would say this, feel Spirit-filled people. Look, you know, Stephen, look, Philip, look, Paul, look, Barnabas. They didn't have to claim it for themselves. They're too focused on Jesus and reaching out to the lost. They're too focused on doing the stuff. So in a real sense, God is dwelling in you, on you, with you, living Christ. Mark 16:20. It'll be the exact same way. You're going to be out evangelizing. You're going to be out ministering. You're going to be in church praying for people, whatever, charismatic, Holy Spirit-given ability, God, and you use that also faithfully. Wow. I just want you to know that you are a powerhouse. And in a real sense, you carry in. Wherever you go, you carry in that presence, that power, that evangelization, that even your giftings at work. I don't care where it's at. Wherever you are, all of him in his fullness. And so when I worked in secular companies all over, and again, they knew what I was many times. They said, you can't preach that stuff here. You know, there's things they told you not to do. Well, there's things you can do without saying it out loud. There's things you can do by just living and letting folks see Christ. See, anybody who's full of the Holy Spirit, you can see Christ in them. Peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Christ. You might have some come up to you to say, what is it in your, what's in your life? So in this point on the notes, under both sides, on God's side, before Christ, when he came, in Jesus, early church, well, man, just jump into the book of Acts study for the next, as we begin, actually a formally begin in April, get your workbooks now, but it's all going to be, and we're going to do live stream and interaction with you on this. And I'm going to probably ask a few people to go out with video and be on the streets or whatever. You don't have to be on the streets. I mean, I've been bar witnessing college, universities, 1,000 door-to-door visits and so forth. We'll talk about all kinds of practical ways to do it. But the other point here, second point, supernatural dark powers. In the garden, the fall of the human race was instigated by a non-human, supernatural, fallen cherub, Satan, who came with deception and lies, right? In the Old Testament, you're going to see Satan and demonic stuff. Look at all of what was around Israel. Every single nation was a demonized. Look at the Nephilim issue. Look at the mention of a magus, or wizard rather. Wizards, sorcerer, necromancers were all over. The Witch of Endor. All of that, as they were involved in the real demonic powers. Look at the King of Moab, Kings 3. Where he sacrifices his own son to draw powers down on his military. At the coming of Christ, Satan was all over the place trying to stop him. I mean, even Revelation 12 sums that up in a real sense. That's important for us to know what was occurring there. Very huge. Very huge. How about the disciples? Simon, Satan has to sift you. What about Acts 5? What about the warnings? What about counterfeits? So Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, and literally what's coming out of the gates, cannot prevail. Stand up. Be stronger than ever. Stand and trust him. But when you step in obedience in all of the word of God and works of God, great empowerment occurs. So for the dark side, there's the immediate right now, more than ever happening. But it's nothing compared to what will be here next year and the next year. More demonic presence, more counterfeit, more dark supernaturalism than ever in history. That's important for us to know. Listen, we're coming to the end of the radio hour here. If you got your notes, point three was the reality of spiritual supernatural enhancements. Take a little study of first chapter of Ephesians. We'll do that tomorrow night. Anyone can experience them. One of them comes from God. One of them comes from the dark side. One is good. One is lethal. Both are operative. And then tomorrow we're going to define charismatic gifts, abilities, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, serving, exhortation, giving, leadership, discerning spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. May God flood you with his grace today. If you don't know the living Christ, come to Jesus. Turn to him right now. Spirit of God is calling you. Whosoever calls in the name of the Lord, right now, believe on him. Turn to him. Receive Christ. Renounce sin and darkness. And every believer, you want to be the powerhouse God intended you to be. Subnormal Christianity won't be good enough. You can't handle that. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full of the beauty and the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus, when you're full of wanting to win the world and minister to people, when you know that authority to engage, when you get outraged of all the darkness around you, yeah, that's you, good believer, powerful, powerful. Tomorrow we're going to deal with ESP versus HSP. What does that mean? Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Keep us in your prayers. Website behind all this, shatterthedarkness.net. Hey, and don't forget, keep us in support. For those who can, invest. We love you. Good night.